a British protectorate. This made Zanzibar a constitutional monarchy patterned off the British system, with the Sultan remaining in place as monarch. This arrangement would last until the British pulled out in December of 1963, granting Zanzibar full independence. It would be less than 2 months later that the land was rocked by a revolution. The seed of discord that led to this tumult was the fact that Zanzibar had been ruled by an Arab minority for decades, while the African majority on the island were routinely kept out of positions of power. Fed up with their second-class treatment, a group of African militants staged an uprising in which they stormed police stations, killed several police officers, and stocked up on all the weapons they could find. This was the beginning of a bloody revolt that would send many of Zanzibar's residents, Freddie Mercury's family included, into full-blown flight from the country. Oppressed or not, the militants were absolutely brutal in their revenge against the more affluent minority. Once the police were put out of business, bloodthirsty bands roamed the countryside, breaking into the houses of Arabs, Persians, Indians, and the like, killing, robbing, and raping those they found inside. Realizing that this was no place to raise a family, Freddie's mother and father packed a couple of suitcases with whatever essential items would fit, and with Freddie and his little sister Kashmira in tow, they booked a flight to Heathrow Airport. Freddie's father was in the fortunate position of having worked for British interests in Zanzibar, and with the utility of his British passport in hand, he was able to broker an escape for his loved ones to the British Isles. It was this sudden turn of fate that would send a young Freddie Mercury on a trajectory destined for superstardom. Many have wondered why Freddie Mercury didn't speak much of his Zanzibar roots. As one can imagine, this tragedy gave him more than enough reason to keep quiet about it. Today, perhaps things would be a little different, as artists are keener to embrace the tragedies of their past. For Freddie, however, he simply wished to compartmentalize the trauma and move forward as best he could. Freddie's family ended up settling in a modest home on London's west side. Despite the chaos and turmoil that had brought him to the shores of Great Britain, it's said that Freddie was fairly eager for the new start that Britain would provide. Being an immigrant from an exotic land like Zanzibar didn't exactly make things easy for him among Londoners of the 1960s, but he tried his best to adapt. Freddie was almost 18 years old at the time, and his parents were hoping that he would set his sights on a solid career path, such as being some sort of civil servant, an attorney, or perhaps even an accountant. His father was already doing the latter, having landed a job as an accountant for a catering company in London. But Freddie didn't like the sound of any of that. To appease his parents, the listless teenager would occasionally fill out some job applications, but only half-heartedly, all the while dreaming of doing something much more spectacular than crunching numbers in an office. Around this time, Freddie came up with the idea that he wanted to go to art school. It wasn't so much because he wanted to paint or create any specific kind of art. As it was, he believed that art school was the place where he could meet true artists. It seems that he first came to this conclusion as a boy back in Zanzibar when he read up on all the famous musicians that had met in art school. Many prominent groups such as The Beatles, The Who, and others did indeed meet at art school. So it was that Freddie set his sights on London's Ealing Technical College and School of Art. He hoped that this little bohemian enclave of art and culture would be the environment in which he would meet some like minds to help him advance his career. The only trouble was, his disrupted education in Zanzibar wasn't quite up to snuff to attend Ealing, and he would have to go to a less prestigious polytechnic school first. It was at London's Isleworth Polytechnic School that Freddie would enroll in September of 1964, taking what is known as an Art Foundation course. It was with his entry into this little-known polytechnic school that Freddie would begin to lay down the foundation of his rock and roll roots. Chapter 2: Life at Art School. I'm very emotional. I think I may go mad in several years' time. Freddie Mercury.